At first, Paul Wolfowitz mistook the tremors in the Pentagon for an earthquake. Such an event would have been rare in the nation's capital, but far more fathomable than what had in fact occurred at the opposite end of the building. It took a few bewildered seconds for him to connect the sudden pandemonium just outside his doorway with the events in New York he had seen on his office television less than a half hour earlier. Uniformed officers entered the Deputy Secretary of Defense's office and instructed him to evacuate immediately. Wolfowitz and his staffers hurried down the E-ring corridor. The entire Pentagon workforce, thousands of them, assembled outside on the parade grounds. Black smoke swirled over the western side of the building, where American Airlines Flight 77 had completed its path of destruction a few minutes before, at 9:37, on the morning of September 11, 2001. Even when he was intended to be the center of attention, Wolfowitz cut an indistinct presence. He was 57 and a father of three, recently divorced, a slight, fast-graying academic for whom certain big thoughts were all-consuming, and everything else, manner of dress, posture, hair care, time of the next appointment, sleep, were relegated to afterthought. His default expression was one of mildly skeptical consideration, as if perusing the menu at an overpriced restaurant. For the past three decades, he had been a sort of backstage eminence in the Washington hierarchy, an important man to more important men. That was about to change, but at this moment, Paul Dundies Wolfowitz was just another vulnerable federal employee standing under an empty blue sky with the ruins of his office building before him. A half hour before, he had just concluded a breakfast in the Pentagon with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and nine Republican members of the House Armed Services Committee. At some point during the breakfast, Rumsfeld had predicted that, while Americans were currently luxuriating in peacetime, an event somewhere in the world will be sufficiently shocking that it will remind the American people and their representatives in Washington how important it is for us to have a strong national defense. Rumsfeld was given to such proclamations, at once sage and lacking in utility. The remark did not take on any added significance a few minutes after he uttered it, when a military aide handed Rumsfeld a post-it note informing the secretary that some type of aircraft had apparently struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Eventually, after several helpless minutes on the parade grounds, Wolfowitz insisted to his aides that he be allowed to return inside. They escorted him to the National Military Command Center in the basement. Rumsfeld was already there, along with Richard Myers, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs. They were discussing United Flight 93, which had just crashed somewhere northeast of Camp David, according to the Air Force's Northeast Air Defense Sector. At issue was whether to elevate the nation's threat level to DEFCON 3. Jet fuel fumes had overtaken the entire building. The command center was filling up with senior Army personnel whose offices had just been destroyed. Reports were coming in, among them that an explosion had taken place outside the White House. Recognizing that Rumsfeld was sixth in line to the presidency, military officers anxiously informed the secretary that he needed to leave the Pentagon. Rumsfeld refused. Wolfowitz saw their plaintive expressions. He murmured to his boss, "You and Myers should really get out of here." Rumsfeld ignored him. After a few minutes, the deputy secretary tried again, then a third time. The secretary then snapped, "No, you've got to get out of here." Wolfowitz and his senior military aide were ushered to the helipad. Hovering for a moment over the ghastly spectacle of the acrid plumes rising from the nation's defense headquarters, the helicopter then moved quickly, 75 miles in 40 minutes' time, cityscape giving way to the deep green ridges of Appalachia. They touched down at the Raven Rock Mountain Complex, also known as Site R, 6 miles from Camp David on the Maryland-Pennsylvania state line. It was not yet noon when the deputy secretary was led into the underground nuclear bunker. He was shown a room with cots. There was no computer for Wolfowitz to use, only landline phones. He tried to call his children, but the cell phones in the Washington, D.C. beltway had ceased to function. At that moment, the Deputy Secretary of Defense knew little more than the rest of America did. Soon the nation would be at war. Within a year and a half's time, that war would expand dramatically. Beyond Afghanistan, the country that had harbored the 9/11 attackers, to a country nearly 1,500 miles away, Iraq.